Well, I'm going to preach about the greatest man with the greatest message. It was John the Baptist. Not the Apostle John, but John the Baptist. Turn with us in your scriptures to the Gospel of St. John. St. John wrote about John the Baptist, and I want you to look with me in chapter 1. I'm going to read just a couple of selected verses over here in chapter 1, verse 6. And then I'll slip over and get some more verses within the chapter as well. So first, John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, look at verse 6. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light." Slip over to verse number 15. "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, or he answered, No. Then saith they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees." There's those Pharisees again. Brother and sister, every time you find some kind of controversy going on in the New Testament, you just about be sure that the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees had their hand in the pie somewhere, didn't they? But John the Baptist, I say he's the greatest man who ever lived. Of course, Jesus was the greatest person of all history, past, present, and future. But the greatest human being, greatest man who ever lived was, in fact, John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came on the scene here, out of the wilderness of Judea, and he came preaching like a so-called wild man, you might say today, it really began to puzzle the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders and Sadducees. But you know, they shouldn't have been puzzled, and they shouldn't have been startled, because if they had just remembered what had already been written about John, it had been already foretold by the Old Testament prophets that John was going to come. Now, John by name wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament, but there was a prophecy about the forerunner who would come before the Messiah. So John had been foretold in the Old Testament that he was going to come. And it had been also foretold by the prophets of what he was coming to do, to make way the path for the Savior. So they shouldn't have been puzzled, and they shouldn't have been startled when John came on the scene. But the reason I say John the Baptist was the greatest man who ever lived was because that's what Jesus said. Jesus himself said, "Of man born of woman, there is never been a greater man than John." Now, beloved, listen, when Jesus testifies himself and says John the Baptist was the greatest man born of woman, and when Jesus testifies to this, beloved, you can believe that. Amen. You can trust what Jesus said, and that's exactly what Jesus said about John. Well, since John was the greatest man ever was, he ought to have had probably the greatest message, wouldn't you think, that he ever could deliver. The greatest man had the greatest message that mankind needed to hear. Because John had the unique privilege of announcing and proclaiming and preaching, if you will, He had the privilege of announcing the arrival of the Messiah, of the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the ones that the Jews had prayed for, the Messiah, that the Jews had looked for many, many, many years, and they expected a Messiah, a Savior to come. And John had the privilege of personally introducing him unto Jesus, Jesus unto the Jews, but also to the whole wide world of that day. He would announce to the Jews that their Savior that they'd been looking for was now arriving. And he would also have the privilege to announce to the Jews that the kingdom that they were looking for, not exactly the way they looked for it, but there was a kingdom that this new Savior who's coming is going to set up, and they need to make preparation to receive the Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they need to make preparation to be a part of that kingdom. So a great, unique privilege John the Baptist had that nobody else had in his day. Well, what were they supposed to do to make preparation for this new Savior? What were they supposed to do? And John quickly told them, you must repent of your sins and welcome the new Savior. That was his message unto them. Well, if John's message was that great, and it was, and John was the greatest man, Jesus said, born of woman, and he was, then it's important for us to look at his life and look at some things in John's life that we can kind of typify your life and mine kind of like his. And there's three things I see here about John's life that I want to show you and see how that it can apply just as much to us today as it was in the day when John proclaimed it. First thing I want you to see is John's presence in the world. It says in verse 6, chapter 1, that there was a man sent from God whose name is John. That's what the Word of God says. God sent him into this world. The presence of John the Baptist on the scene was the very fact that God sent him. And the word sent here is a word we get the word apostle from the New Testament. An apostle, as we know, is one who was sent by one of high authority in his behalf to speak on behalf of the one in control. In this particular case, God sent John as an apostle to come and speak on behalf of him. That's what it means to be sent. Now, Paul kind of elaborates on this in the New Testament. Paul says that we, Christians, we are ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is similar to what John was. John was called and John was sent by God. We've been called, we've been sent as ambassadors. John was sent as an apostle, you might say. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles, but he was. He was sent. He was called. We've been called. We've been sent as ambassadors. We are to go into the world today and speak on behalf of our Savior, the one John talked about, who is in full authority, and he gives us authority upon his blessed word. We have the authority of God's word that we can speak to the world today. And the message that we're going to bring today, or that we should bring today, is very similar to the one that John brought in that day, except with a little exception. John was preaching about the arrival of the Savior, but we preach about the arrival of the Savior's coming again, don't we? And the very same thing he told people they needed to do in his day is the very same thing people need to do today. Repent of our sins and welcome the Savior and make preparation for him because he's going to soon come back again. So Paul said, we're now ambassadors of Christ. Well, if our president were to appoint you as an ambassador to whatever nation, you would go in his stead. You would go with his authority. You would go on behalf of him, and you would speak with the authority of our president. That's exactly what John was doing right here. Now, when John came, the spiritual condition of the Jewish people was at an all-time low. That tide, I mean, had really ebbed. It was a low spiritual condition. and they needed to hear the message that John had to bring. Is it any different today? What about the spiritual condition of most of the world today? It's probably at a very low ebb, wouldn't you agree? And they really do need to hear the same message that John brought to those in his day. So the spiritual condition is about the same today, or maybe even worse because of population, than it was in John's day. But you notice something about John. John was not afraid of what people thought about him. He wasn't afraid of what people said about him. He wasn't afraid of what people might do to him. John was just a faithful servant of the Lord and him coming into this world to do what the Lord called him to do. He was sort of like the Old Testament prophet Elijah. That's why they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" No, he wasn't Elijah, but he was kind of similar to Elijah in some ways. You remember Elijah confronted on the mountain, Mount Carmel. Elijah confronted Ahab and all those prophets of Baal. And he gained victory over them. Well, John the Baptist is similar. He faced all the opposition just like Elijah did. And he overcame it all by the glory of God and the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you and I are going to meet opposition in this life just like John did, just like Elijah did. And the only way we're going to gain victory is to be sure that we've been called of God and sent of God and be faithful to the Lord. Now, the only way you can speak with authority, any preacher, any Christian, anybody who knows the Lord, the only way you can speak with authority and to gain victory is to know you've been called and sent of God. There'll be times in your life that's going to come, and probably many of us have already had those times, when you have nothing more to hold on to in your life except the fact that you know a couple things. Number one, you know you've been saved. You better never lose hold of that. You got to know you've been saved, and you got to know you've been called of God to share the message. If that's all you've got to hold on to, beloved, that's enough. That was enough for John. That ought to be enough for us. Well, John's presence in the world was similar to what our presence in the world today is. God called him, God sent him to take the message as far as he could. Do you remember what the Great Commission is to us? Our presence in the world is similar to John's. John was to preach and teach the gospel. Our presence in the world, according to the Great Commission, is that Jesus said we are to go into all the world and make disciples of all people and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and to teach them all things that He has taught us. That's the Great Commission. We've got a Great Commission just like John did. John's commission was to proclaim and really introduce the Savior. Is ours that much different? No. So the presence, why we're still here, why this church is still here, why your life is still here, why are we still here today? It's to proclaim the message of a Savior, a soon coming Savior, and tell people that they must prepare and welcome Him in their heart, in their life. Well, people today, I've heard this, I don't know if you have or not, but I'll say something about that later. John's presence in the world startled the religious leaders. Our presence in the world today might startle some folks, but we're here for a reason. We're here on a mission, just like John was. We're here with a purpose, and we need to understand that, just like John fully understood why it was that God sent him. But there's something else about John's life I want you to see. Not just John's presence in the world, I want you to see John's preaching in the world. Look at chapter 1 again, look at verse 7, and look at verse 8. Verse 7 and verse 8. Talking about John, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. John just came, and John just preached the message that God gave him to preach. Now, there's several words in the New Testament that would resemble what we would say preach today. Preach today. Spoken about one who is a herald, who voices out a message that comes from one in grave authority. It's an official. Now, we have many various ways today that we can communicate the gospel. We all know that. We have all kind of mass media. We have all kind of internet and all kinds of ways we can communicate the gospel today. But in John's day, about the only way they had to communicate the gospel was by voice. There had to be a herald, a person with a voice to come and speak that message. That's what John was in his day. But just because we have all kinds of mass media and all kinds of communication devices today, we're still heralds. And we still must voice. We must still be a witness of the true light, which is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So, John spoke primarily by his voice to those round about the region of Jordan. Now, Jesus called John, and Jesus commissioned John, and John just said what Jesus told him to say. Now, if his message was that great, and it was, and they needed to hear just exactly what John had to say, wouldn't it put a great responsibility on us that we should say the same things today that John said then? Because the people today need the same thing that the people of John's day did. John's people in his day were spiritually blinded. The Jews were spiritually blinded. It was a pretty dark day spiritually when John came on the scene. There had been a long period of darkness. God's voice hadn't brought a prophet through in a long time. And now John appears on the scene and things are altogether different. But wouldn't you have to agree that today the world is pretty spiritually dark? I mean, it's getting darker, folks, by the day. It's a dark spiritual place this world is today. And it's a very low ebb of spirituality in the world today. Well, God gives us voices just like He gave John a voice. We're to spread the news, spread the message of this. John told the people in his day, the shining light of our Savior is coming to you. And that light is shining just as brightly today as it did in the day that John brought his first message. And we need to tell people today that the bright light of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining just as brightly, and it's here today just as strong as it was in John's day. So, we have to herald with our own voices and all the ways that God has given us today to share the gospel. We've got to do that. But notice something. John preached from the wilderness to those about in the wilderness because they were just wandering around spiritually in a spiritual wilderness. Are people today doing the same thing? Are people for the most part today just kind of wandering, meandering around in a spiritual dark wilderness? It's sort of like it was with the children of Israel when they literally were wandering around in the wilderness for those years before they ever got to go to the promised land. Well, something else unique about John's preaching, and I want you to be sure you don't miss this. In John's ministry, he did not perform one miracle. Not one. John's total ministry was miracle free. Not like so much preaching ministries I hear about today. So many today I find who are just trying to major on one miracle and a greater miracle next week and a greater miracle next week, and they have such spectacular things that they have to some way concoct something better this week than they have last week, or they're going to lose their following. Listen to me. John's work for the Lord was done through preaching of the Word, and that's exactly why and how we ought to be doing it today. God will take care of the miracles. If there's any to be performed, let Him do them. Amen? Amen? We should do the same thing today that John did then. Can I get a witness on that? Amen? Sure. Well, John's work was done through preaching. so should ours be. Did it not say in the Scriptures that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe? Surely it did. Now, God didn't say it pleased God by foolish preaching, and He didn't say it pleased God by foolish preachers. He didn't say it pleased God by handling the gospel foolishly. But what He meant here was, when you preach the gospel like John did and like it needs to be preached today, the world around you is going to look at it like it's foolishness. I've had people tell me today, not this day, but in today, well, preacher, people don't want to hear that preaching anymore. That stuff's outdated anyway. People are more educated today than they were when preaching was popular. It's not popular today. Well, let me ask you something. Aren't people today just like people in John's day? Isn't human nature the same today that it's been since the fall? And don't people today need the same thing in their life that they needed when John preached? Simply, they need this: to repent of their sins, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him for forgiveness, welcome Him into their heart. That's what they needed in John's day, and that's what people need today. Doesn't matter how much education they might have. Doesn't matter how much their culture may be. Doesn't matter how much they may be refined or how ignorant they may be. All men need to repent of their sins. Didn't John preach that? Didn't Jesus preach that? He said, except you repent, you're going to likewise perish. So you see, John's preaching was all about repentance and accepting the Lord in their life. So much today I see in ministries, I'm not calling anybody's name, you put it where you want to, where you see it. I see ministries being built today around everything except the preaching of the Word. Didn't Paul in another place say, Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. And didn't he continue to say, but how are they going to hear without a preacher? Now, I'm not talking about just men behind pulpits. I'm talking about any child of God can preach the gospel, share the witness, share the gospel with anybody. So how are they going to hear without preachers, ambassadors, if you will, for today? How are they going to hear the Word? How are they going to know what they need in their life? How are they going to know that they need to repent and ask Jesus Christ into their heart? How are they going to know that without somebody tell them? Because man's needs today have not changed one bit from the days in which John preached. That's why it's so important that the greatest man, John the Baptist, had the greatest message that's ever been delivered. And listen, we have the same message that he had. I want to really impress this upon our hearts. Because we have the greatest message on the face of this earth, the greatest message mankind needs to hear today is right here. We've got to be extremely careful as a church. And you and I have to be extremely careful as individuals that we don't find ourselves handling this most important message in some kind of foolish way. Amen? It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death to people. And we can't afford to handle the Word of God in any kind of foolish manners. And we can't have foolish preachers and foolish preaching going on. We got to have the truth as John preached it. Well, don't ever underestimate the power of the gospel. Because John also, or rather Paul wrote, and Paul said this, that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, is a power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. But what if they don't hear? What if they never know the gospel? What if they never hear the gospel? They're not going to know that the gospel is a power of God unto salvation to those who will believe. Many in John's day believed, and many today will still believe. If you took the believers in relationship to all the world's population, I'm talking about true born-again believers. It'd be a small minority. But many will still believe today. Some will believe. All won't believe, but some will if we'll just share the gospel. Well, John's presence in the world startled the leaders. John's preaching in the world was nothing more, nothing less than what the Lord Himself sent John to preach. And that's exactly what we, no more, no less, ought to be doing. But there's something else about John's life I want you to see. Not just his presence in the world, not just his preaching in the world, I want you to see John's priority in the world. Look at verse 15 there in chapter 1. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Also look over at verse 27. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Then look it over at verse 30, what John said. "And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." It's repeated several times that John said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. John always magnified Jesus. John always glorified Jesus. John always lifted up Jesus. So what I want you to see here, and lastly, is John's priority in this world. It was to magnify and glorify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I refer to what Paul said, which reinforces what John said. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, "For we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." So John's priority was to lift up and prioritize and glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. John clearly said, "I'm not the light. I'm just a witness. I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. But I'm going to point you to the true light, who is none other than, of course, we know, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, John said, "He must increase. I must decrease." You can hear a voice, but you can't see a sound unless you've got some kind of special equipment, can you? But John preached that Jesus is the shining light. They heard his voice and they met Jesus sometime shortly after that. John would picture Jesus in the wedding situation. John would picture Jesus as the bridegroom. And the Bible speaks of Jesus being our bridegroom. John would say, "Jesus is the bridegroom, but I'm nothing more than the best man in the wedding." He always lifted up and prioritized the Lord Jesus Christ. Even an angel told John's father, Zechariah. He said, "Zechariah, your son, John, is going to be a great man." And of course, he is a great man, the greatest man there ever was. But John always, when people looked at him and asked him these questions, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the promised one? Are you the one who was to come?" John would quickly say, "No, I'm not him. I'm not even worthy to untie or to tie his shoes. He's preferred above me. He's always been above me." He would always point them to the fact that Jesus was always not just greater, but the greatest. And that's what we've got to do today. John was just a shining, burning lamp that reflected the true light of Jesus Christ. So, where's the main priority of the focus of our church? We've got to always remember to magnify and make much of Jesus. You can't make too much of Jesus. We've got to put Him first. And the Bible says also that He must have priority in all things. He's got to have the first word He did, and He will have the last word and all words in between. So we've got to lift up our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, like John, we're the greatest people in the world today. Now, I know they'll laugh at us and make fun of us and mock us and say, "Who do you think you are?" But we are the greatest people in the world today. Why is that? Because we're children of God. We're part of the family of God. We're God's ambassadors today. We're the ones God has called and God has sent in this world. And our presence here proves the very fact that God has given us the same message in respect to a coming Savior and a kingdom of God and a family of God. And we must preach that. Let us be crystal clear that God's called us, that God has indeed sent us. Let us then declare the same message that He gave John, He gives us today. Let us be sure that we make much of Jesus and lift Him up and give Him preeminence in all things. He must be and He must have all the priority. And now let me show you what Jesus did. In John's ministry, Jesus told the Jews, He said, talking about John, Jesus, what did you come out here to see? A reed blown in the wind? What did you expect when you came to see John? And listen, we can't today be like a reed blown in the wind. We can't be blown about by every wind of every new doctrine that comes down in our society today. We've got to stand on the solid rock who's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to believe the gospel, every bit of it, and preach it and teach it just like John did. And Jesus said of John, listen to me. John wasn't seeking to be a wealthy celebrity preaching God's message. He was just a faithful servant unto the Lord. And the Lord said of him, he's the greatest man born of woman. Just a faithful servant. Can God say that about us? We're just faithful servants. The Bible also teaches us in the book of Luke, and I'll close with this, that if we did everything that our Lord commanded us to do, in every single way He commanded us to do it, we would still have to say we're unprofitable servants. So the best that we're going to be able to do is never going to be perfection. But we have a perfect goal and a perfect Savior to preach to the world today. And beloved, listen, it's left up to the church. It's left up to God's people. It's left up to you. It's left up to me. Have you ever stopped and thought and just held your Bible and thought about it? That's the most valuable, the most important message that this world needs to hear. More important than all the United Nations meetings that they may have. It's more important than all the summit conferences that have ever been or ever will be. It's the most important word that man needs to hear. And we're the greatest people on the face of this earth today. We have the greatest message. Let's remember it and let's just relay it like John did.